The silence of the Lord Jesus Christ is a truly astonishing thing. It's amazing. It even marveled Pilate. It was amazing that this man who had all these accusations hurled against him was going to go quiet. But we need to not be surprised by this, because this was prophesied literally hundreds of years, some 700 years before this ever occurred. In Isaiah 53:7, it says this, referring to Christ, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth." Tonight I want to focus our attention on the silence of the Lord. In verse 3 it says that the Lord answered nothing, and in verse 5 it says that Jesus answered nothing. I want us to focus on the silence of the Lord, because this is something that we need to desperately desire not to happen to us. Sometimes there comes a time in our lives as Christians where we grow cold in our walk with the Lord. We grow cold because we lose our expectation of the Lord and our great faith in Him. We grow cold because often we are carried about by the various things and activities in our lives, and we focus our minds and attention on things that do not please the Lord. Perhaps there is a sin that has overtaken us, or an offense, or a problem between us and someone else that we've not had resolved. And very often our lives and our hearts become cold to the Lord. And when the Lord used to speak to us very powerfully through His Word, now it seems like when we open the Word of God, it still remains shut in our hearts because He has become silent to us. Tonight I want us to plead before the Lord that this year will not be a year of silence in our lives as Christians and in our families and as a church. We need to expect great things from His Word. But the only way we will expect great things from His Word, as we looked at this morning, is if the Lord speaks to us through His Word. And the only way that the Lord will speak to us through His Word is if we are availing ourselves to the power of God's Word. And if we are ready, willing, and desperately desiring to feed upon the Word of God that He is going to give us this year. Why did Jesus answer nothing in this passage? I'd like to look at it from a negative standpoint as far as the reasons why He perhaps should have spoke up. But then I also want to consider it from a different standpoint as well. Why did Jesus answer nothing? Jesus answered nothing, but it was not because He had no words to speak. Jesus answered nothing, but it was not because He had nothing to say. In fact, Jesus had much to say. It is better for some people to be silent because they have nothing to say. Yet, Christ had much to say, even though he answered nothing. Consider the fuller revelation of His words to Pilate that is recorded in the Gospel of John. If you keep your finger in Mark 15 and turn over to the Gospel of John, John chapter 18. Pilate asked Him a question, and He answered. In Mark 15, very briefly, it says that Jesus answered Pilate and said, "Thou sayest it." But then in John 18:36, it describes for us more of His words. Jesus answered in verse 36, "My kingdom is not of this world," He says to Pilate. "If My kingdom were of this world, then would My servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is My kingdom not from hence." And Pilate therefore said unto Him, "Art thou a king then?" And Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king," or "thou sayest it," as we saw in Mark. And then He says, "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth My voice." Pilate here, he asked these questions of Jesus, got the full dose of the gospel message from the very source of the gospel Himself. The Lord did have great and powerful and wonderful words to say, wonderful words of life. He had very powerful words to say. His entire life and His entire ministry reveals the life-changing power of His words. We saw those this morning. And yet, when He was approached by the chief priests in verse 3, Jesus answered nothing. He answered nothing, even though He had great words, wonderful words of life to speak. but he still spoke nothing. Jesus answered nothing, but not because he had no reason to speak. He had every reason to speak. He had every right to speak. In John 6:68, Peter said this about the Lord. He said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Thou hast the words of eternal life. If you knew that someone had the words of eternal life, why would you not listen to those words? Why would you and I not listen to the words that that person would speak? And yet the Lord here had every reason and every right and every desire to speak, yet he held his peace. It wasn't because he had no reason to speak. He had the words of eternal life. We saw this morning three examples of where the Lord spoke very openly to the people that were greatly expecting things from him. Of the leper, he spoke to the leper. He spoke to the centurion. He spoke to the woman there who had the issue of blood for those 12 years. The Lord spoke to all these people those wonderful words of life. And yet when it came to the question of the chief priest that accused him of these things in Mark 15:3, he answered nothing. He answered nothing. Jesus answered nothing, but it wasn't because he had no words to speak. Jesus answered nothing, but it was not because he had no reason to speak. And Jesus answered nothing, but it was not because he had no desire to speak. In John 15:7 and 8, Jesus said, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." The Lord had a desire to teach his disciples. He still has that desire. He desires for us to grow and to learn more about him and his word. He desires for us to have a walk that is so close. He says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you." He wants his words to abide in us. He wants us to feast upon his word. He wants us to be able to open the word and study it and to meditate upon it and to memorize it and to be able to share it and proclaim it to others. He wants his word to abide in us. That's why he gave it to us. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I've heard it said many times that this book that we have is God's love letter to us. And in a sense, that is so very true. It is so very true. And yet, there is no love letter that is as great as this one. Because it shows the greatest love that any person could have ever had toward another in that our Savior gave his life for us. And it's recorded for us in this wonderful word, this wonderful book. He desires to share his word with his disciples, yet still, in this passage, when the chief priests accused him of these things, he answered nothing. Jesus answered nothing. Why? I believe here, after he spoke to Pilate, it was because he had no followers there who would listen. Jesus held his peace because those that he would have spoke to, those chief priests who accused him of these things, were not willing and ready and desiring to listen to the words that he would spoke. It's very interesting to note that Jesus would answer Pilate. He did answer Pilate. That he would not answer the chief priests. Pilate, the one that was given the authority from the Romans and was over the governor of that particular region. Pilate, who was a secular man, a secular politician. And he, Jesus, would answer him. And yet the chief priests, who were supposed to be here, the ones that were the religious leaders and the religious authorities, the ones that seemed to have it all together in the eyes of the people, Jesus was silent to them. It's amazing to think that Pilate, the man that probably all the people despised, the people that they hated to be under the ruler, the rulership of the Roman Empire, they hated to have that type of bondage, and yet the Lord answered him. And yet the ones that they did look up to have instruction from the Word of God and the law, Jesus was silent to them. Tonight I want us to think about the fact that the Lord does sometimes stay silent in our lives as well. Sometimes we think that that's a good thing. The silence of the Lord is a good thing. After all, when the Lord is silent, it keeps us from feeling uncomfortable, doesn't it? It keeps us from feeling uncomfortable when the Lord speaks to us. If he's silent, we don't have to worry about what we're doing. We don't have to worry about our attitudes or our actions. We can go on our life in our own merry way. Have you ever been doing something that you knew was wrong? Perhaps when you were a child. You knew it was wrong, but you kept on doing it anyways until someone either tapped you on the shoulder or you felt like someone was looking over your shoulder and you looked up and you realized, I'm caught. A lot of times you're not very uncomfortable unless someone's watching you do those things that are wrong. We need to realize that sometimes we want the Lord to stay silent because we want to go on in our own merry way. We want to live our life our way with our own hopes and our own desires. We want to enjoy this world. We want to enjoy the things that are in this world. And we sometimes want the Lord to stay silent because we want to be comfortable in this life. Because when the Lord does speak, you know what's going to happen? It's going to make us uncomfortable if we are not following after Him. If the Lord is truly speaking to us, we will not remain in our comfort zones. Because when the Lord speaks, it demands a response. It demands a response in our heart before Him that is denying ourselves and following after Him. Isn't that what Christ said? If any man follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow after me. He says, if you are going to follow me, it means that you are not going to be living a comfortable existence in this world. Rather, you are going to be a stranger and a pilgrim in this world. So sometimes we understand that, and we're okay with the Lord being silent, because we do not want to be uncomfortable. When was the last time the Lord, through His Word, made you uncomfortable? When was the last time something in your heart, in your own conscience, because the Holy Spirit was moving and working, made you uncomfortable to the point where you realized that there had to be something in your life that was going to change? And if you didn't change it, you would remain uncomfortable and miserable, and you knew that you were not doing and abiding God in God's will. When was the last time the Lord made you uncomfortable through His Word? If you have never, or if you have not been uncomfortable through His Word recently, perhaps it's because the Lord has been silent to you. Perhaps He answers nothing because He doesn't have a follower in us that will listen. Sometimes we think that silence is a good thing from the Lord because it keeps us from being convicted. Convicted. The Bible very clearly teaches that if we say that we have not sinned, that truly we are liars. And we recognize in our lives that there are issues in our life that come, there are sins that we commit, and we do need to confess those before God. But very often it's the Holy Spirit through the Word of God that convicts us of those things. And they may be sins that we've committed. We've looked at this Wednesday night as we looked at the Lord's Prayer when we asked the Lord, forgive us our debts. And we considered how some of those debts can be those things that we do sin against God in a blatant way. But what about those things that we omit in our walk with Him? Those things that we neglect in our life. Aren't those just the same as those sins that we commit against Him? When was the last time we truly were thankful and grateful to Him as we ought? When was the last time we truly obeyed Him according to His will as we ought to? When was the last time we truly followed Him and loved Him the way we ought to? These things are debts that we have before the Lord that we need to be forgiven from. And if we are not convicted of these things in our life, if we do not open up the Word of God and recognize an area that we need to more fully surrender, perhaps the Lord is withholding His voice in our life. And that is a very, very bad place to be. Sometimes we think that God's silence is a good thing because after all, when He's silent, it keeps us from being challenged. When was the last time the Lord challenged you in your faith? When was the last time the Lord challenged you to go out and attempt something great for Him? When was the last time the Lord challenged you to go out and witness to that neighbor or that person that you work with? Or that person within the church? When was the last time the Lord challenged you to go outside of these walls and to be able to share the gospel? Perhaps even with those that have come to this church before. Be able to go out and get out of our comfort zone. When was the last time that we've been challenged by the Word of God? Has the Lord remained silent to us through His Word? When it comes to your personal comfort, your personal convictions, and even your challenges, silence is not golden when that silence is from the Lord. How long have we lived with the Lord's silence? How long will we live with it? You know, sometimes the Lord stays silent in our lives, just as He did here in Mark 15, but it's not because He has no words to speak. John 6:63 says this, Jesus said, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The Lord has great and powerful and wonderful words of life that He wants to impart into His people. He desires and seeks to give us His word so that we might be established and growing. He has great words that He desires to speak to us, and so we must come before and ask the Lord to break His silence in our lives. When was the last time you pleaded before the Lord to speak? Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Speak, Lord, because I am ready, willing to obey whatever it is that you're going to say and tell me through your word. Speak, Lord, I no longer want you to be silent to me. The Lord has powerful words to speak to us. If we will but listen. We will but listen to that voice so still. That voice so quiet. Sometimes it comes in the still of the night. It comes through His word. I appreciated what Tom said this morning in Sunday school class about reading the word of God through in a year. And that's a valuable thing, a very powerful thing. I don't know if you noticed in the bulletin how George Mueller, one of those great men of faith that we can read about and understand more things about, he read through the Bible 100 times, and every time he read it with increasing delight and desire. Do you read God's word with that same kind of delight and desire? We need to expect those great things from His word. And in order to do that, we need to read His word and meditate upon it and understand it. What is your goal in your relationship with God's word this year? What is your heart's desire? Is it to read the word of God this year through in a year? Perhaps twice a year, or even 4 times a year? You might think, well, how is that? How are you able to do that? Did some calculation. I have a CD that has the Bible. It's not Alexander Scorby, it's some other guy because it was cheaper. But it's all on CD, and I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. But you're able to determine how long this CD would last, how long it took this man to read the Bible through completely. And I've listened to it, and he speaks rather slowly. Which is good because it helps you really understand what he's saying and you're able to follow along if you're reading. And you know how long it took him to read the entire Bible from cover to cover? 77 hours. 77 hours. You think, 77? You know, 77 hours is not that long. Not that long at all. And if most people can read in their mind faster than they can read out loud. I've heard it said that if you read just normally without doing it audibly, you can do it in about 40 hours. If you spent just one half hour each day reading God's Word, just reading it from cover to cover, you know how long it would take you to read through God's Word? About 5 to 6 months. Is it possible for you and for me to read through God's Word twice a year? Oh, absolutely. If you want to do it in one time in a year? 15 minutes. We need to participate with God's Word. We need to read it. We need to hear it. We need to meditate upon it. We need to spend time. Now, of course, reading it is not the same thing as understanding it, and studying it, and meditating upon it. We need to not just read those 15 minutes and have a little stopwatch and say, okay, my 15 minutes are done, I've done my part. No, we need to open our Bibles with an open heart and an open mind. We need to do it with prayer and say, Lord, speak. Speak. Show me these wonderful things out of your law. And as you read, if the Lord is teaching you and speaking to you and the Holy Spirit is impressing a sermon on your own heart, you know what you ought to do? You ought to stop where you're at and read it over again and listen to Him and pray and say, Lord, what are you trying to show me through this passage, through this verse? What are you trying to require from me? What are you expecting? What is your conviction? What is your challenge? What are you doing in my life? It's going to take a little longer than 15 minutes, but it's possible. We need to spend time with the Lord in His Word every single day. Why? Because the Lord has words to speak. The Lord has words to speak. However, sometimes the Lord stays silent. But again, it's not because He has no reason to speak. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, turn there with me for a moment. It teaches us why the Lord speaks to us through His Word. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. Paul writes concerning the church, it says here that He might sanctify and cleanse it. How? With the washing of the water by the Word. How is the church purified? How is your heart and my heart in our individual walk with the Lord, in our family's walk with the Lord, and in our church's walk with the Lord? How are we purified? It's purified through the Word of God. And He does so that He might present it to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. The Lord has some very important reasons to speak to us. And those reasons are to purify us for His own glory. He uses the Word to change us more into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why we have the Word of God. It is to iron out those wrinkles. It is to eliminate those spots. It is to present us as a glorious church to Himself. And if we do not avail ourselves of the Word of God this year, we will never, ever be able to have our heart and life and church purified before God. The Lord has every reason to speak to us. And we need to be ready and willing listeners. But sometimes the Lord stays silent. Again, it's not because He has no words to speak. It's not because He has no reason to speak. And it's not because He has no desire to speak. No less than 8 times in the Gospels does Jesus say this: if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. How many people hear? Have ears. Can't see him? It's a, see him? Okay. Anybody else not have, do you have ears? Tom doesn't have ears. Alright. Now, how many have ears to hear? Again, Tom, if you're deaf, we understand that. What does the Lord say? If you have ear or ear, ear to hear, single. If you have ears to hear, what did He say? Hear. Listen to the Word of God. Listen to what I have to say, the Lord says. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. He desires to speak so that you and I might hear. He has a very loving desire to speak to us, but sometimes still the Lord stays silent. Why? Because, as was mentioned in Mark 15, He didn't have any followers that were willing to listen. Sometimes the Lord stays silent. Why? Because you and I choose to ignore His words. Sometimes we ignore His words. The chief priest ignored His words, didn't they? Here in Mark 15, they were accusing Him of these things. And Jesus realized that any word that He would say, they would not listen to. In fact, they were trying to trap Him with His words. And He realized that He's not going to cast His pearls before swine. He's not going to cast the precious words that He was going to give to His people to those swine of those religious leaders who cared nothing for the things of the Lord. He was not going to do that. He was going to remain silent and save His words for those who had ears to hear and would listen. And so He chose to remain silent. Sometimes we ignore His words. One preacher, J.D. Jones, who is an old Welsh preacher, said this: they had refused to listen, and so He became silent. If we refuse to listen to the Word of God tonight, He's going to remain silent. It comes down to a choice. Are you going to listen to what God's Word has to say? And if you choose to ignore it, you must also recognize that there are consequences to that. If you ignore His words, He will withhold His words. And if He withholds His words, it's the same as being silent to you. If He is silent to us, there is no greater tragedy in the life of an individual Christian. There is no greater tragedy in the life of a church than for the Lord to withhold His own precious word from His people. Of course, we still can open it up, but the power of that word is not going to be wasted upon those who choose to ignore it. We need to open our hearts and our minds and our ears to hear. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Hebrews 2, it says, Take heed to those things that we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. You and I can ignore His words through ignorance of His word. If we neglect His word by not reading it, by not studying it, by not meditating upon His word, it is ignoring His word. And if we ignore His word by neglecting His word, it means that we will not receive his word, he'll be silent to us. If we refuse to listen, he's going to be silent. As I mentioned last Sunday night, we need to not neglect our time in the Word of God. I hope you started this year off right. I hope you started off by spending some time with the Word of God open before you, studying, meditating, and praying. There is no other way for us to hear the Word of God than through the Bible. And there is no other way for us to be changed into the image of Jesus Christ unless it is through the reading, studying, meditating, preaching, and teaching of God's Word. That is the way that has been ordained by God. There is no other way. And if we do not avail ourselves of that, we will not grow. He will remain silent because of our ignorance and our neglect of that. Are we going to neglect His Word? Do not neglect His Word. You and I can also ignore His words through disobedience to His Word. Sometimes, like many of us, we open up the Bible on a daily basis, perhaps even with our own families for devotions. We come to church whenever the doors are open, and yet when the Word of God is spoken to us, you know what we choose to do? We choose to ignore it through disobeying it. We don't obey what we hear. We do not take heed. We may have ears to hear, and we listen to it, but it does go in one ear and out the other. We don't take heed. We do not grasp it. And again, to the one that has been given much, much is going to be required. If you have been listening to the Word of God, you are responsible to obey what you hear. And if you choose not to obey, you are ignoring it. If you refuse to listen through disobedience, He also may choose to be silent. Sometimes the Lord stays silent because we choose to ignore His words, but He also sometimes may stay silent because we choose to listen to others' words. Eventually, what happened to Pilate? Pilate listened to the false words and the testimony of the chief priests, even though he had heard the true word and testimony of Jesus. Again, in the Gospel of John that we just read about what the Lord said to Pilate, can you imagine if you were Pilate? What a tremendous privilege and responsibility and yet opportunity for him to stand there and have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the very God who created him and placed him in that place and position. Jesus Christ was saying to him, I have the words of life. And yet, Pilate ignored his words and chose to listen to the words of others. He chose to listen to the words of those people that they didn't even agree in their own testimony. It says in the Bible that they tried to get all these different witnesses and they could never find anybody that would even agree in their testimony. They couldn't even find two people to say the same thing and accuse the Lord about what He said He did. And basically, they made Christ admit who He was, and He did. And they said, even though it was the truth, they said, He speaks blasphemy. We don't need any more witnesses. So these are the people that Pilate chose to listen to. He said, I'm not going to listen to the Lord. I'm going to listen to these other people. Why? Because these other people are the ones that can help me through my political career. They can support me and help me in this way. What about us? What about us? Sometimes the Lord will stay silent if we choose to listen to the words of others more than the words of Christ. You can listen to the words of others more than the Word of God. When we do so, when we refuse to listen that way, the Lord will be silent. Whose words do you listen to more than the words of the Lord? Whose words do you listen to more? It could be the words of someone within your own family. It could be the words of someone within this church. It could be the words of someone that is outside of this church. Perhaps it is someone on television, or perhaps it's an evangelist, or perhaps it's a secular individual, or some self-help promoter. It could be a politician. Who do you listen to more than you listen to the Word of God? If you listen to the words of others and abide by those more than the words of the Lord, He'll be silent. Sometimes we can listen to the words of our own selves more than the Word of God. Sometimes we can talk to ourselves and talk ourselves into saying and believing just about anything. Sometimes we need to recognize that we need to think about God's Word and how that is going to change how we think and how we talk and our own motivations and our own desires and our own loves and our own passions. Let's not choose to listen to the words of others over the words of Christ. Perhaps you this evening have lived with the Lord's silence. How does He speak? He speaks through His Word. And has He spoken to you through His Word? You know this if the Word does convict you. Because the Bible very clearly says that His Word will not return into Himself void, but it will accomplish that which He set out to accomplish through His Word. Does the Word convict you? Does it correct you? Does it challenge you? Is it fresh in your mind and in your heart? If it does, He's speaking. If He's speaking, listen and heed and obey. But if not, He's not speaking. And it's a great tragedy. What do we need to do? There's a few verses there on your message, guys, that I want us to look at briefly. If you find yourself on the receiving end of the Lord's silence, you need to be like David, who experienced the very same thing in his life. Look at Psalm 28:1. David said this, "Unto Thee will I cry, O Lord my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if Thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit." David likewise said in Psalm 35:22, "O Lord, keep not silence. O Lord, be not far from me." You need to recognize what the silence of the Lord means. It means that the Lord is far from you, and it means that you also may be far from the Lord. You and I, if you are on the receiving end of the Word of God and the silence of the Lord, you know what we need to do? Is we need to get on our knees before Him and plead and pray and beg and ask God to speak again. Say, "God, I am willing, I am hearing, I am listening. Do not be silent. Do not keep your silence. Give me your wonderful words of life. Plead from the bottom of your heart and soul." Say, "Be not silent to me, Lord. Oh, Lord, keep not silence." Tonight, as we finish up this Lord's Day and as we think about our expectations of God, let us expect God to speak through His Word. And as He speaks, let us be prepared for whatever conviction, whatever challenge, whatever correction He puts in our life through His Word and through His Spirit, and be ready to hear it, to heed it, and to obey it. Because as that happens, as that process continues, the Lord will speak greater things, and He will speak more powerful things, more wonderful things, things that will be able to encourage and admonish and cause us to grow, and we will be able to speak back with Him, and we will have that blessed communion with Him, that blessed relationship. What a wonderful thing. If only the Lord will not keep His silence. When silence isn't golden, it is not golden when you are on the receiving end of the Lord's silence. So let us beg for God to speak. Let's beg for God to speak to us through His Word today, tonight, tomorrow, and throughout the rest of this year. Let us ask the Lord to speak. Let us close in prayer. Father, we thank You again for the Word of God, and we thank You, Lord, that You have chosen to speak to us through Your Word. Give us ears to hear so that we might hear. Give us a will to obey that which we hear. Give us a heart, Lord, to understand those things that we hear. And Lord, I pray that You will not remain silent. Lord, I know that in many lives, perhaps some that are here even tonight, perhaps some of the people here have received Your silence. Lord, we beg that You will not be silent any longer. We hear the Word being preached. We even see the words on the pages that have been written. And yet the Holy Spirit is not doing a work of conviction and correction, of challenge. And so we recognize that there is a silence there. So we enter Your presence here tonight, Lord, and we recognize, because the Holy Spirit has impressed upon our heart, that we need Your voice. We need Your Word. We need those wonderful words of life that will be able to challenge us and correct us and make us more like Your Son. Oh Lord, I pray that we will not ignore Your Word. I pray that we will not neglect it. I pray, Lord, that we will not listen to the words of others more than the words that You give to us. I pray that we here at Grace might feed upon your precious, precious word. I pray that you will speak. Speak and teach. Help us to listen and obey. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.